We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. We're going to talk men's basketball and also men's gymnastics as well. They got a big meet coming up on Sunday, but prior to that, the men's basketball team will be in action Thursday against Oregon and Saturday afternoon against the Oregon State Beavers as the Bears hope to build on their victory over Stanford. We'll talk about that momentarily, but first of all, obviously, everybody by now knows the passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others in a horrible helicopter crash in Southern California on Sunday. And Mark, you have worked a little bit with USA Basketball. Kobe was part of a couple of Olympic teams, very instrumental in winning two gold medals. Just first of all, talk about Kobe Bryant, his influence on the game, how he has been respected throughout the years, the championships, this, that, and the other. And just what he's meant for USA Basketball.
It's obviously, it's just tragic what has happened, and you know, people die in accidents every day, and it's awful. But when you have someone that's of this notoriety, and then you hear about the children and the other families and all the people that are going to suffer tremendous loss for the rest of their lives. It's just a tragic situation. And obviously Kobe, who I first met, when he was in high school, I made one swing at trying to recruit him, which didn't go very far. You know, he's a tremendous competitor, and, you know, and when you get in the elite levels of competition, the mentality that it takes to succeed in professional sports and to win and then become a champion and remain a champion, the mentality that you have to have, the work ethic that you must maintain, it's beyond what most people can comprehend. And I thought, you know, Kobe was a tremendous competitor, but I think that as he shifted gears after his retirement to focus on being a full-time father and making an impact in women's sports and in just other parts of the world. He was a global figure, and so it's a tragic situation. And obviously, with USA basketball, he was part of the revival of our team, and most certainly, you know, he'll be missed, in many places across the world. And it was a very sad day for our team because our players grew up watching Kobe. That's who they first fell in love with in basketball. And so, you know, it's a lot of mourning that's occurring. And it's one of the sad things in life that you have to get through. And hopefully, you know, our play in the games and our practices for the games will help us, you know, and get through this.
You know, I found out about it when I came to watch the women's game here at Haas and was sitting in the south end bleachers, and there was nobody around me. Kyle McCray, the football SID, was sitting there, and kind of sat beside him, and we talked for a couple of minutes, and he's got his phone going. I go, bing. He goes, oh, my God, Kobe Bryant's died. I went, how? I was sick. Yeah, I just felt a pit in my stomach. And I was not a big Laker fan, but I was a Kobe fan. And I became more of a fan of Kobe's actually after he retired. And you kind of alluded to it, Mark. He was beginning to impart his knowledge and what he learned from the game to so many others, particularly the women. And of course, we're watching the women's game, and you know, the Cal women, they don't find out about this until after the game. When and how did kind of your guys find out about it?
Well, our kids were in the locker room, and so they learned, obviously, through their phones. And so we had an emergency meeting just to sit and talk about, address the sadness that they were going to feel and address the game that we still had to play. And I was at least glad that we were able to get with them 15 minutes before we were able to take the court to begin our game preparation, because I thought it was important to just give them a little bit of counsel because obviously Kobe was someone that they looked up to, and it was a sad day for our sport, but it's one of the unfortunate parts of life, and we have to deal with those things from time to time.
Well, and that's where coaches can help young men and women get through those things. You have a perspective on things, and it's a shame. It's a tragedy for all involved, and we wish the best for all of the families. That's certainly the case. Then you got to go out and play a game, and you got Stanford. Stanford, one of the better teams in the league at this point in time, record-wise. And the thing, and you've mentioned this a couple of times in the post game, Santa Clara, I can remember, and I think it was the USC game, where you felt because things were not going well on offense, that it affected your team's defense. It looked like you made a big step in turning that around in this game, because offensively, it was not a Mona Lisa, but your defense played hard. It looked like you went through with the game plan of what you wanted to do defensively. So to me, watching that game, that was a big deal, because you didn't let one end of the court affect the other end of the court.
I think that we did the same thing a week ago. If you look at the last, three weekend games, we held Washington to 49 points regulation. And even though we weren't scoring a lot, we got the game to overtime and we were able to win the game. The next Sunday we played at UCLA and we held them to 50. But offensively, obviously we had a major drought, because we just have some challenges offensively. And obviously in this game, we had a spell there where we missed a couple of easy ones around the basket, and we had a little bit of a drought. We fell behind, but we did keep defending. But I go back to maybe the day after the UCLA game, and we sat our team down and said, listen, these are the shots that we wanted to get. It just didn't go in, and let's not overreact to it, and let's just keep playing through it. And we did keep playing through it against Stanford, and we're able to then get a couple to go down and crawl our way back into it. But we maintained our defensive effort, throughout the game, and then held them, obviously to 50, and it was just enough to win.
52-50, the final score, as Coach mentioned. Third time this year the Bears have held an opponent of 50 points. The other time, in addition to UCLA and Stanford, was Prairie View A&M. And now the Bears will take on Oregon and Oregon State. The other thing we talked a little bit, not with you, but Rich and I on the post-game show, is free throws. And I think you alluded to the fact that you got to the free throw line 13 to 17. It's been tough to get to the free throw line. It can make so much of a difference in a game. And I thought Matt Bradley, once he got to the free throw line in the game against Stanford and hit four in a row, he kind of got going a little bit, banged home a three-pointer, hit another jump shot. You know, calling fouls is subjective to some extent, to say the least, by the officials. But how do you get to the line more, or can you not make a conscious effort to get to the free throw line?
Well, you can make
a nice little smile on your face there.
You can make a conscious effort, but there's somebody else that has something to do with it. You know, one of the things that this team has to do, and we've been really pretty good in our ability to get to the line. You know, but we played the first 32 minutes, I think, in Los Angeles, and didn't get one attempt. And I don't care what team it is, you know, you have to get there every so often to keep your offensive, you know, wheels churning. And so that's something that's important to us, because we do have some limitations offensively. I think the thing that makes it a little harder for us in league play is that we're so undersized and maybe not quite as athletic as some other teams. So they can play us away defensively that makes it hard for us to create the advantages and draw fouls. And it's going to be important for us to be really sharp in our execution, to give us that slight edge where on those plays, when you don't finish and you can't get a field goal, that you get a trip to the line and you can keep tacking up points that way.
And it's a great way to end somebody else's run as well, if you can get some free throws. All right, you got a Sunday game, and then you've got a Thursday game. Now, if it was a Saturday and a Thursday game, you give the kids Sunday off, and then you got 3 days of practice. You still have to give them a day off, okay, this week. It reduces your practice. In a normal week, where you've got a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday practice, Thursday, Saturday games, some coaches will prep a little bit for the Saturday game on the Monday, and then go Tuesday, Wednesday with the closest game. In a normal week, what is your preparation when you're playing the two games?
You know, it's interesting because it really depends on the number of days that you have between the games. Obviously with the Oregon schools this week, we just have one day in between the two games. But, you know, I coached in a league for 9 years when I was at Nevada, that where we had, you know, one day in between. And so we have a routine that we use. If there's a common thread that ties to both games, then we'll address it throughout the week. We won't talk about it being for the second game. We'll put all of our focus in game one, but we'll have that common thread that we know we're also going to utilize in game two. So, you know, this week, because we played on Sunday and we gave them off on Monday, you know, it's a little bit of a shortened week. But as young as we are, and obviously as we get near February, you know, there's some wear and tear on these guys. You know, the day offs are important, and we're getting close to the point where we're coaching the minds almost more than we're coaching the bodies, because we've got to preserve, you know, some energy and keep them fresh. But you know, you still have to get your work done. So that's one of the skills in organization, and hopefully we've been able to manage that to a point where, you know, we're still getting better on the court in practice, but also, you know, keeping them fresh enough to have energy to play.
And this week, Oregon's got the same thing, and they have to travel. So there's no advantage in that regard for either one of the teams. They played the Sunday game against UCLA. Real quickly, Oregon, your views of them. Peyton Pritchard's had a phenomenal year for them. A couple of years ago when they went to the Final Four, he was the guy that set up the big shots for Dylan Brooks. This year, he's not only setting the shots up for the big, he's the one taking the big shots. They've played 5 overtime games already this season, and he seemingly makes big shots whenever they need to have them.
He's having a phenomenal year. Oregon has as talented of a team as we have seen to date. And, you know, Dana Altman, their coach, is a longtime friend. You know, I think that he's done obviously a remarkable job there at Oregon. They have another, you know, team I think that is qualified to make a deep run. And, you know, it always helps to have, you know, a great senior point guard, which, you know, when our great senior point guard, you know, played well on against Stanford, you know, we won the game, and they've got one that's just having a remarkable year. And so, you know, that'll be a game where we will have lots of challenges because, you know, from a matchup standpoint, you know, on paper, you know, it doesn't look real favorable from spot to spot. So we're going to have to be a team and play team ball because they have tremendous talent and length across the board.
Then on Saturday, Oregon State, Trace Tinkle, 2,000 plus points in his career. He is the fulcrum. He's the focal point of that basketball team. And he's a tough guard because he's just so crafty. I mean, he knows where to go. He's like Peyton Pritchard, but he knows where to go. He has all the angles down, it seems. And when he's playing well, they're really difficult to beat.
Well, you know, Oregon State has defeated Arizona and Colorado, two of the best teams in the league. And I think the one thing about both the Oregon schools is those kids have been in the same system for 4 years, and they have experience, and they're battle-tested. And so that's a tremendous advantage. And, you know, I can't wait for the day that we're saying that about Lars and Kwani and Joel and say they've been in the system for 4 years, and they've been through all these battles. But right now, I mean, we're pretty green, you know, and so yeah, Oregon State, obviously, you know, with the experience that they have, you know, they've had, you know, I think a solid start to the year. League play has been a little tough, but they got a couple of great wins, and they'll have you know, they'll have a scheme that's totally different than what we're going to play on Thursday. Will our young minds be willing to pick it up and adjust fast enough? You know, we're going to find out, but we hope that they will.
All right, now we're going to finish off the biggest game in the Bay Area, non-basketball-wise, is the Super Bowl on Sunday. And so you grew up in Garden City, Kansas, about 26,000 people, southwest corner of Kansas. But Denver is actually closer to your hometown than Kansas City is, which is on the other side of the state. Growing up, who did you root for? And I don't want a prediction on the Super Bowl, but how do you see this thing playing out?
Well, I have no problem giving you a prediction. I'm likely the only person in the Bay Area that's rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. And but when I grew up, we didn't have cable television, and the only sports we got to watch was the Big Eight game of the week and the NFL game. And so we would leave church and hope that the sermon was short enough that we could see kickoff. And so we watched every Chiefs game since the time I can remember, you know, my youngest memories were watching the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, you know, we finally are in the Super Bowl after, I think I was a month old the first time that they were in the Super Bowl. And we're finally back. So, I'm 100% on board for Kansas City, and I'll root for the Niners in every other game, and I'm predicting a high-scoring game and a 24-23 victory for the Chiefs.
All right. We won't hold you to it, but I think it's going to be – it might be 34-33. I mean, I don't know that either one of these defenses is going to – the offenses are so good. Patrick Mahomes. I mean, so Len Dawson was the quarterback in the Super Bowl, right, for the Chiefs when they won the thing. So – after that, other than Joe Montana, I mean, who else comes to your mind as far as, you know, the great Derry Thomas, I guess, as a linebacker? Was it,
right? My grandparents lived in Kansas City, and we would go to see my grandparents and go to the Chiefs training camp. And so from Len Dawson and getting his autograph, you know, Jan Stenerud, who was our kicker, but you can go through obviously the Derek Thomas years and what a great defender and the tragedy that he went through, you know, later in his life. Obviously, when Joe Montana came back and led us to a playoff victory, but you know, this team is loaded and especially offensively, you know, it'll be you know, for me and everyone that I grew up with, this is a big deal. And I'm going to focus a lot more on our team's games than the Super Bowl, but I hope that I'll have a couple hours of joy on Sunday.
Well, hopefully as well. It ought to be a great game. We look forward to the games this week against the Ducks and the Beavers. Thursday night, 6 o'clock, Rich and I will be on the air at 5:30. Then Saturday afternoon, the Bears against the Beavers, 12:30. The pregame show, 1 o'clock tip. And hopefully the Bears can remain undefeated in conference play at home, having three wins already. Hey, Coach, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right, thank you. Go Bears.
All right, joining me now is the two-time captain of the men's gymnastics team at California, a great tradition of men's gymnastics here at Cal. And the team is kind of a couple of meets in and improving each and every week. And joining us now is the captain, Kite Krieger, who is from Manassas, Virginia. First of all, just tell us what being a captain means to you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, what's up, guys? Kite Krieger here. Being a captain, it's a tough role. I started captain my junior year of college, following a couple of older guys, just kind of watching their footsteps so that I would be prepared for my senior year. And it means a lot. I'm really committed in the gym, and I really have a good vision of what I want, and I'm super motivated. I love gymnastics, and I just want to pass that on to the other guys and show the other guys that hard work actually does pay off. And so every single day I speak up to the team and try to get them back on their feet, after a loss or after a tough practice. I just want to bring the motivation back to the team, and really, you know, have them focus on the journey. I think that that's important. So, I have a lot of, goals for this year as of just how I lead the team, but that's basically it.
You're also an all-arounder. That means you do all six events in any given meet. That's difficult to do. The training has to be really hard as well. Yeah. But you mentioned journey, and before we go too far, you're from Manassas, Virginia. That's quite a journey from, Virginia all the way to the West Coast here. What was it about Cal that attracted you the most?
California Berkeley. It's the number one public institution, baby. I was looking at a couple other schools, Michigan, Illinois Air Force Academy, and Berkeley, and I wanted to not only focus, I knew there's life after gymnastics, although I love gymnastics so much and that's my passion right now. I know that there's a life after gymnastics. And so I try to do everything I can to focus on that is what I've done for my past 4 years here, focus on the academics as well. So just being able to excel in gymnastics and in this classroom, I think is the perfect balance for me. And that's mostly why people come here as well. Yeah,
you're in the business school, and that's a great honor to get the opportunity to have that additional prestige on your resume. So, what is it about either business or being in the school of business that attracts you the most? What would you like to do after gymnastics?
So I actually have a job lined up already.
Are you really?
Yes, sir. Yeah, at an investment bank in San Francisco. Yeah. So it's called BTIG. It's a small investment bank, probably about, six analysts, and we have a big trading floor. So that's super exciting. I put in the work, I got involved ever since my freshman year in student athlete clubs. And, if anyone wants to get into business school, has the right mindset, they need to come talk to me because I will show them the way. I promise you, I'll show. Me and Bobby Thompson work really close together. He's our development guy and personal development guy. And I just, I took advantage of the opportunity of being able to be out at California, Berkeley, all the way from Virginia. I don't know anyone, from my high school, anyone that came here, and being so far away and having to pay so much money coming here, I had to, soak up every little opportunity that I could. And so that's what I did. And it obviously paid off to get into business school. So.
Well, not only that, it paid off getting a job. One thing to be in academia, but it's also the real world is you got to earn a living, and congratulations for you. You've kind of brought back, resurrected, so to speak, the Student Athlete Business Network. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it was my freshman year. It was a thing, Student Athlete Business Network. Basically, they had professionals come in. One is a networking club, so you can network with these professionals, get to know about them, and really foster that relationship so that when you did graduate, you had a job lined up or you had internship lined up during the year, during the summer. And we have other professionals come in and do workshops on resumes. We have people come in and do, public speaking workshops or improvisational leadership workshops. And it's really cool. Authors come in and speak as well. And it was around my freshman year, and then it kind of disappeared because leadership wasn't there. The seniors graduated. They didn't pick it up. after that, so me and a couple of my teammates, my junior year, came together and were like, you know, this was super helpful for us. And we met a lot of professionals this way. There's nothing like that on campus right now for student athletes. So let's bring this back up. And we got together one summer and we did it. And it's been growing. So that's good news. Yeah.
Who's the most interesting guest that you've had come and speak to
yeah,
you guys?
Yeah. I would say we've had two good guests. We've had one guy named Isaac Sirwanja. He's a motivational speaker. Inform and Inspire. I think that's his company name, Inform and Inspire. But he's an author. He went to Princeton, three-time student athlete. Three-time student basketball player, I think track, and he did football.
Oh my goodness.
It's crazy. And he went to Princeton. He wrote a book. He's all about professional development, all about networking. And his book was called How to Network. And so we had him come in and speak to us. He all got us to sign a copy of his book, whoever came to the meeting. Super cool. Another guy, Christopher Atageka. He's a huge time entrepreneur, has his own VC type firm where he invests in other companies and gives grants out to companies doing some good and making social impact in the world. And he started up this company in Africa. He's from Africa. He actually went to Berkeley as well. He did mechanical engineering here. And he has a crazy story behind him. He watched, you know, his friends die, his parents die of HIV. And he came to Berkeley with some lottery or something. Someone adopted him or something happened. He made it out to Berkeley and he did mechanical engineering in 5 years. And he created a startup in Africa, you know, helping those people that cause they didn't have transportation there. So he helped them. And it was super cool to hear his story and speak. And all the student athletes that were at that meeting had a good sense of motivation after that to really make an impact in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Motivational, educational, inspirational. I guess, and that's a great thing to have. And the networking is just so important in all facets of life. But it's, you know, it's important in the broadcasting business. I found that out for myself. But in the business world, it's just so critical to have. Now, one of the things that you guys do to help develop team chemistry is each week during, is it all year round or just during the season? I don't know what it is, but to go to have dinners together collectively as a team, and you go to, I guess it'll be a freshman. Do the cooking. Yeah. What's that been like? I suppose you've had a little bit of good and a little bit of bad.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Exactly. So, you know, I guess this has been a tradition before my freshman year. Cause when I came in freshman, they were like, all right, freshman cook. Yeah. So it's a really fun tradition. You know, our team's so small right now. It's the smallest it's ever been. We're at 13 guys. So we can talk about that a little bit later, but, yeah, so it's 13 guys. We have the, you know, time we have. It's a lot more convenient for us to do this, and we just get the guys together before every home meet, actually, and it's a good opportunity for us to, you know, speak, you know, pray together, speak together for 30 minutes before dinner, and kind of speak on what our goals are for this meet, kind of get realigned before the night before the meet. And then we have the freshman cook, which is really funny. So some years it's good, some years it's bad. You can see the growth and throughout the year, throughout the competition season, certain guys coming in not even knowing how to cook pasta and and learning. Yeah,
boiling water shouldn't be that difficult, I would think. Yeah. But so again, the best of and I'm not asking you to maybe throw anybody under the bus here. Okay, but who did the best job and what was the meal?
So we had a meal actually a couple of weeks ago. I think this was before our last home meet against Stanford. And this freshman class has been the best by far throughout my 4 years. They made a side dish of salad, right? And they made the croutons. Like, I don't know who makes, you know, before they just maybe buy croutons. They didn't even do salads. They just did pasta and broccoli and meat sauce. But these guys, they did burgers. They did chicken, you know, chicken sandwiches. They did bacon bits in the salad. They made it all from scratch. They did some.
Other than the bacon, I'm sure they didn't grow the pigs. But
No. Yeah, they cooked the bacon. They cooked the bacon. They cooked the bacon, yeah, and they cut it up, and they put, you know, they had that side dish. They had oil and vinaigrette there for us. They're the best, yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty enticing. Well, we might have to check that out one of these times. If this was a TV show, There's no question we would come over to one of those dinners and do a nice little story.
A reality TV show.
No question about it. Well, that's pretty good. We like that. All right, let's get down to the gymnastics. You mentioned real briefly there about the size of the squad.
Yeah.
And men's gymnastics has had to do a lot on its own to maintain its status here at Cal. You guys are always fundraising. I know you had the Benefit Cup a couple of weeks ago. You're always doing something. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we don't have a lot of funding as a team, and so it's tough to recruit national team guys. It's tough to recruit. It's tough to get people to come here, right? The main sell off point is that we are the number one public institution, and that draws people in, like me. And that's why I wanted to come here and a lot of the other guys. But funding has been really tough for us, you know, just because of Title IX or whatnot, and that's fine. But you know, for me, it's more JT's doing the job, the good work of fundraising and trying to get some money in, right? But for me, it's more, what are we going to do? What can we do? Let's not look at the funding. What can we do now because of it? What's the, you know, we're not going to just give up because we don't have funding, right? So what can we do now? And what's positive because of this? How is non-funding positive? Let's look at the positive side. And so basically our team, you know, we're super committed. It's more than just us being, you know, paid. Like, we're not paid to do it. We're doing it because we love the sport and we want to do it, right? And so it's boiled down to 13 guys, small team, because obviously, you know, no money. Sometimes people aren't attracted to that, and maybe some people can't even afford that. But the guys that we have are quality, and the guys that we have are committed. And I think that's what really, really matters in the end of the day, because, you know, you'd rather have a small team with, you know, committed guys and motivated guys than a big team with, you know, a couple of bad apples. And so, you know, we're doing this past couple of weeks, we dropped down to 13, and we've been doing some good work. So I'm excited to see what we got. Yeah.
I know every sport has their numerical milestones. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
In gymnastics, you know, if you can score 400 in the total number of events with all the guys combined, and you guys did that this last weekend, you know, how big of a deal was it for you?
It was big. You know, we scored pretty low the two meets before that, in the 380s actually, and but I believed in the team. You know, we dropped down to 13 guys, and I was like, although it sucks losing two members of our team, right, that week of that 400 that we scored, it sucks, it just does, but what can we do that's positive, right? And so we use that as motivation and fuel and opportunity. I think that opportunity word is key, because we use that as an opportunity to get closer as a team, to have a team dinner, to bond more, and to work extra hard in the gym, to utilize the coaches in the gym, because there's only 13 members, so we can extra utilize the coaches. And so we use that as an opportunity. We hit the gym hard, and we pulled away with a 400. You know, scores are, you know, can be, you know, I'm super excited for the 400, but we can't be sad. We can't be satisfied with that. I wrote a quote on the board a couple of days ago, this Monday, right after that competition. It's a Bruce Lee quote. It was, "Be happy, but never satisfied," because we can't. You know, we're not at the point right now where we can just take that 400 and be satisfied with that. We got to keep on pushing. We have so much more room to grow after that 400, and I know that, and the whole team knows that, and so. Everybody got to keep their heads up and be on the lookout for Cal Men's Gymnastics, because it's getting somewhere. So,
well, that's awesome. All right, let's go through the events here. Yeah. All right, you got the vault.
Yeah.
You're laughing already at this. You got the high bar, the pommel horse, the floor, the parallel bars, and the rings.
Yes, sir.
All right, what's your favorite?
Yeah, we don't got the beam. A lot of people think the guys do the beam. No way. That's not gonna work out for us. my favorite is floor. I think the floor exercise, and I love high bar as well. Yeah.
High bar is extremely entertaining. There's a risk factor, obviously.
Yeah.
The women have the uneven bars, so to speak, and you see them going back and forth. But the high bar, a lot of I mean, there's catches and there's releases, and the dismount is obviously really important.
Yeah.
But I've always been fascinated by the rings.
Rings, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe when you're just a little kid, there's something about the rings. You can kind of do semi-somersaults, and you know, you see these guys that do the, I don't know if they still call it the Iron Cross, where they get their arms basically parallel to the floor, and the strength that you have to have. How do you train for know, six different events.
Yeah, it's tough, especially in college. It's tough because we have that, you know, 20-hour a week limit per the NCAA. So it's tough, but, you know, we just have to be more efficient in college before our bodies can take a lot of hours as well before in junior gymnastics, before college and high school, we were able to take, you know, 30 hours plus per week, five to six hours a day. Now we have like about 3-4 hours per day. So we have to just be more efficient. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of focus when we're in the gym. So you can't be goofing off anymore in the gym. It's a lot of focus. We try to keep the energy up and crack around a little bit because you need that. You need that energy in order to do productive work in the gym. But we have to be really efficient for sure.
Well, no question about it. Hopefully that efficiency will pay off this week. On Sunday, 4 o'clock, the Pac-12 Invitational, Stanford, Arizona State, and Washington. Obviously, you know, based on the proximity, budgets, this, that, you see Stanford a lot. You're going to see Oklahoma again. You see them usually a couple of times every year as well. And so you got Sunday down at Haas Pavilion. Then on March 5th, the Alumni Senior Meet. And then you've got the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation Championships in April at the Air Force Academy. And so that'll be a great meet as well. So this week, I guess I want to leave you with this. So in a lot of sports, like if you're a college golfer, after you're done collegiately, whether or not you make the pros or not, you can continue to play golf recreationally. Yeah. If you're a basketball player, you can go to the park or the YMCA and continue to play basketball. There are other sports like that. But in gymnastics, when you're done collegiately, and if you don't make the national team, do you ever do any of these again? I mean, you haven't reached that point, but I'm sure you know guys that have. Yeah. Well, what do you do?
So it's fun. It's funny. We have alumni come into our gym all the time and just try to mess around on the equipment. Yeah, we do. We do. Guys from 10 years ago on the team and try to come in and mess around, do some strength, and they still have it. Okay. It's crazy. They still have it. You know, other guys might not, but some of the ones that like to stay in shape and do some in-house conditioning every once in a while, they still have it. And so not obviously not everything, but they still have some basics. And so I think, you know, just keeping up to date, maybe going to a gymnastics gym once every month, maybe even just to kind of swing around and stay loose. I think it's super healthy for your body, getting upside down and everything like that. And so doing that, you know, after, you know, I'm going to be busy working in the city, in investment banking especially, but trying to just stretch every day, maybe just keeping flexible, and, you know, doing CrossFit is a good way for a gymnast to avenue into after gymnastics, because it's that kind of mix between, you know, weightlifting and that gymnastics basic fundamentals. Yeah,
not everybody has a set of parallel bars at home or a pommel horse, maybe out in the garage. I gotta work on that.
Yeah, you know, we got to get an alumni meet where we have alumni come back and compete against our team, because there's a lot of schools that do that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, and you think about, you know, the history of gymnastics here in California. There's been some awesome people that have represented California throughout the course of the years. That would be a good idea. And I know basketball, you know, they did about 7 or 8 years ago. They brought back some guys. And as you would imagine, some of the guys look like they've stayed in shape and put up some shots in the gym. And there's some other guys that look like maybe they spent a little bit more time in the spa or the sauna and not actually working on skills. But that is a good idea. Maybe we can get the groundswell going and maybe even make it a men's and women's kind of a deal as well, because
bring some more attraction.
You'd expand the interest. That would be great. Hey, Kite, we appreciate you taking the time. Great stuff. Continued success, not only here at Cal, but in the investment banking world as well. Are you going to be an analyst to start with?
Yep, an analyst, yep.
Yeah, my nephew has done that back in Milwaukee, and it was really rewarded for him. And now he's on the flip side. Okay. He gets to use the expertise that you have, gaining the information, and now he's working with clients to try to get them to come in and be part of a portfolio.
That's
cool. Good luck to you on that. Good luck to the team, and look forward to watching you guys. Sunday, 4 o'clock, the Pac-12 Invitational. The Bears hosting Stanford, Arizona State, and the Washington Huskies. All right, good luck.
Let's do it. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
You bet. My pleasure, man. Of course, Ben's basketball in action, as we talked to Mark Fox earlier. The Bears in action Thursday night will be on the air, Rich and I, with the pregame show beginning at 5:30. The Bears against the Oregon Ducks. And then Saturday afternoon, the Oregon State Beavers come to town. Well, we appreciate you joining us this week. As always, next week we'll have more really good stuff. The one nice thing about this podcast is we don't have a time limit. Like with kite, we could go as long as we want to talk about a lot of different things. And the Olympic sports, so many great representatives of this university. It's always fun to get to know them and hear their stories and how they're doing, why they're doing it, and the success that they've had so far. So until next week, I'm Todd McKim, and as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.